So I'm sorry it's a little chilly in here today. Anybody a little chilly? You can rub your hands together. It's not because we didn't pay the bills, I promise. One of my favorite Mother's Day stories, because I know Mother's Day is full of all sorts of emotions for many of us, but one of my favorite is when my oldest, who's 17 now, was about two, and I was leading worship, and a younger pastor then, and she came up for the children's sermon, and I was leading the children's sermon that day, and so my husband brought her up, and he kind of sat back and let her come forward. It was one of the first Mother's Day she could come on her own to the children's sermon, and there were about five or six kids in the circle there, and I was so excited that she was there too, and started talking and what have you, and all of a sudden she started crying and raised up her hands. I was like, what's wrong? You know, what's going on, Lucy? And she said, I want Daddy. And that was my Mother's Day. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may remember a radio program called The Rest of the Story. Paul Harvey was the host, and part of his newscast began during the Second World War, and then premiered with his own series, around the mid-70s. I remember it growing up, so maybe if you were my age or a little bit older, you may remember that as well. The story was always some little-known fact about a well-known person, and some key element of the story or the name of the person was held back until the very end of the story. So you may remember that the broadcast almost always ended with a variation on the tagline, and now you know the rest of the story. Some of you know it, I know. So today our Bible reading is literally the rest of the story. What you heard was from the 21st chapter of John, the last chapter of John. It's considered by some scholars to actually be a later edition, written in part to explain this story of Peter that we just heard read, and that he was in fact redeemed and freed from his deep failure to acknowledge that he was a follower of Jesus. You may remember some of the backstory there. Peter is one of the most famous of the 12 disciples. His enthusiasm caused him to say to Jesus at the Last Supper, as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet and giving the greatest commandment to love one another, Peter exclaims, "No, I would never deny you, Jesus. I would never do that, ever." But then on the very night of Jesus' death, we read in Scripture, before the rooster crows, Peter does just that. He's asked by three different people, "Aren't you one of this man's disciples?" "No," he says. "Didn't I see you with him?" "No," he says again. "Aren't you one of them?" And he says, "No." So earlier in this same chapter, as we hear that the disciples are fishing together and that Jesus has breakfast on the beach with them. It's one of my favorite stories. I can just imagine Jesus sitting around a charcoal fire and cooking fish. It makes me hungry just thinking about it. I think I'm having fish later today for Mother's Day lunch, so I'm looking forward to that. So Peter is perhaps somewhat quiet, hoping to fly under the radar. This is the resurrected Jesus that's there with them. But suddenly, Jesus turns to him, and he looks Peter in the eye, and he says, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter says, "you know that I love you." You may know this story well. And Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." And a second time, Jesus says to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Do you love me?" And this time we read that Peter was hurt. Like, I've said it already, Jesus. And he's impatient. And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." Now, when I hear this exchange, I can't help but think of Tevye and Golda and Fiddler on the Roof. You may know the exchange, "Do you love me?" Tevye says to Golda, "Do I love you?" His wife responds, "For 25 years, I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked your cow. After 25 years, why talk about love now?" That's perhaps not what Jesus had in mind when he asked the question of Peter, but the sentiment is similar, isn't it? Love is so much more than words. Love does things. Love is a verb. And Jesus seems to know what good psychologists also tell us, that in order for Peter to truly begin to be free from the pain of denying Jesus, he needs not just to be forgiven, but to have a sense of belonging and of purpose. "Do you love me?" Jesus asked him. "Then feed my sheep." Of course, you might be saying, it's easy for Jesus to forgive, right? He's Jesus, after all. That's kind of what he does. A lot harder for us. Forgiveness can indeed seem very elusive at times, including to those who follow Jesus. And life is not really a complete story wrapped up in a bow, is it, like the Gospel of John? Many of the questions I get and that I struggle with myself about how to live as a Christian have to do with forgiveness, how to live with other people. Which means that they also have a lot to do with failure. Failure on the part of you and me to love well. Failure on the part of people we have trusted to love us well. To forgive these failures, to forgive these sins. Sin is anything that separates us from God. To forgive harm done to us. To forgive or to ask for forgiveness from another is a lifelong journey, isn't it? Not to be taken lightly. Too often, Christians have been told to forgive and forget. You've heard that, probably. To smooth things over, maybe, to avoid conflict. And that, I don't believe, is what Jesus desires for us as followers. To really be freed, to be forgiven, to experience freedom from the harm done to us or the harm we've done to another, that doesn't happen overnight, does it? A few years ago, I heard a story about forgiveness that has really stuck with me. The story was about a man named O'Shea Israel and the woman who forgave him, Mary Johnson. When O'Shea was a teenager, he had murdered Mary's only son, Laramie Bird, and it was in a gang fight. A dozen years later, hear that, 12 years later, these things take such time. Mary went to the prison where O'Shea was to meet him and to find out who this person was who had taken her son's life. Slowly and remarkably, they became friends, and when he was finally released from the penitentiary, O'Shea actually moved in right next door to Mary. In a conversation they had together that was recorded, an interview later, Mary says to O'Shea, and these are her words, "My natural son is no longer here. I didn't see him graduate. I didn't see him get married. And now you're going to college, and I'll have the opportunity to see you graduate and maybe to experience walking with you through getting married someday." And O'Shea replies, he says, "Just to hear you say those things and to be in my life in the manner in which you are is my motivation. It motivates me to make sure that I stay on the right path. You still believe in me," he says to her, "and the fact that you can do it despite how much pain I have caused you, it's amazing." And Mary says, "I know this is not an easy thing to share our story together with us sitting right here looking at each other. And I admire that you can do this." And O'Shea says, "I love you, lady." And Mary says back to him, "I love you, son. I love you, son." That kind of love is forged on the anvil of failure often. sometimes in the pit of despair, and in the heart of what it means to be human. Mary's extraordinary act of forgiveness for the murder of her son, her amazing bravery, really, in establishing that kind of relationship with O'Shea, carved this path of redemption for O'Shea. It gave him a way out. Not just forgiveness, but restoration, making all things new, as our God does. When Jesus looks Peter in the eye, and this is such a beautiful image of that kind of restoration, and he asks, "Do you love me?" He's calling him out and speaking into that place of loss and grief and bitterness, and into the journey that God is preparing, into the path God wants for him. Philippians 1:6 reminds us, "I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job." Friends, to know God's forgiving love and to offer that love to someone else means that we trust deeply that God is going to finish what God has started. It means believing that God has not and will not give up on us, on our families, on friendships, on our marriages, on our churches, or our world. We are broken people, full of failures, both big and small, and yet God looks to us and says, "Do you love me?" and calls us to that place of belonging again and purpose. An unconditional love. Perhaps today there is someone that you need to forgive. Perhaps there is someone that you need to ask for forgiveness. Perhaps you need to forgive yourself and experience healing within you and your own heart. Last week, as we talked about what it means to put love into action, because love does, love just not isn't just is, but it does, I asked you to think about praying for and reaching out to someone who is lonely, right? And we talked about the loneliness epidemic in our world. And this week, I want to invite you, as the Spirit leads you, to think about writing a note or a letter. Perhaps it's to someone that you want to forgive, but simply cannot right now in your life. Or maybe someone you're not ready to forgive yet for any number of reasons. Perhaps it's someone from whom you want to ask forgiveness. You need to ask them, "Will you forgive me?" but haven't figured out how to do that. But I want to invite you to write that letter. Maybe you send it. Maybe you don't. You need to pray about that. Maybe you keep it. Maybe you need to write it to someone who's no longer here with you on this earth. Someone whom you didn't get to say some of those things but want to be able to now. You might read it aloud to a trusted friend or a spouse. Maybe it just stays in your heart and you put it aside or even tear it up later. Forgiveness, friends, is actually a gift of grace. We cannot make it happen. Only God can do that. But we can get ourselves into the right place, the right position. We can do the right thing so that God's power continues to flow within us. Writing a letter might be one way of doing that. It's simply one thing in the big picture, but it can move mountains, those small things, when we are trying to forgive or to seek to be forgiven. I love this way of thinking about it. When we do those small things, sometimes we kind of stew over things or think about things and praying about things. And sometimes we need to put legs on our prayers and to think ourselves into new ways of living so that we live ourselves into new ways of thinking. Richard Rohr, who wrote that, also tells a very personal story about his own mother when she was dying, and she was trying to find a way to offer forgiveness to his father. He tells a story. She had lived a long, long life, and she was kind of lingering on that threshold. Some of you who have experienced loved ones who are dying know there's sort of a threshold in those last few days between this life and the next. And for several days, she'd been talking about this. She'd been calling it a mesh that she just couldn't get through. And Richard relates this story of how he was sitting by her bed and telling her how much he would miss her. And she said that she wanted to hear that from his father, whom they always called Daddy. And of course, their father had been telling her that for weeks now. And so Richard's father came over and said to her, "Oh, I'm going to miss you. I want you to know how much I'm going to miss you." And his mother replied back, "I don't believe it." And so Richard's father redoubled his efforts and said, "I ask your forgiveness for all the times that I've hurt you in our 54 years of marriage. And I forgive you for all the times you've hurt me." And Richard was sitting there by, you know, his mother and his father, and he said, "Mother, isn't that beautiful? Now say that back to Daddy." And she clammed up and she didn't want to say it. So Richard said, "Mother, you're soon going to go before God, and you don't want to come before God without forgiving everybody." And she said, "I forgive everybody." And he said, "But do you forgive Daddy?" And she became silent again. And his dad jumped in at that point and said, "Honey, I've never fooled around with any other women." And Richard and the girls who were gathered there, the daughters, said, "We all knew that." And she even said, "Well, I know that. I know that." And Richard said, "His siblings and I still don't exactly know how Daddy had hurt Mother. But any person in any relationship, any married person knows there are many little ways a couple can hurt one another over 54 years. So then Richard said, "Mother, let's try this. Put one hand on your heart, and I'm going to pray that your heart gets real soft." And so he said, "I placed one of my hands on hers, and I held her other hand and started kissing it. And after about a minute, she said very faintly, 'That melts me.' 'What?' he said. 'When you kiss my hand like that,' she said, 'now I've got to do it.' And after a pause, she continued, 'I'm a stubborn woman. All my life, I've been a stubborn woman.' 'Well, Mother,' Richard said, 'we all knew that. Now look at Daddy and tell him.' So she looked over, and she didn't call him Daddy as she usually did. She spoke to him by name. And she said, 'Rich, I forgive you.' And Richard prompted her again and said, 'Mother, the other half, I ask for your forgiveness.' And she started breathing heavily and rapidly. And then she summoned her energy and she said, 'Rich, I ask your forgiveness.' And a few more minutes of labored breathing and she said, 'That's it. That's it. That's what I had to do.' And Richard, her son, said to her, 'Mother, do you think that was the mesh that you were talking about?' And she replied, 'It's gone. It's gone. The mesh is gone. And God, I pray that I mean this forgiveness that I have spoken, that I mean it from my heart.'" And Richard ended the story by saying, "She was happy then and ready for the end." It's Mother's Day. We sang this hymn earlier today, and this is one of my favorite phrases from the hymn. Some of us have lost our mother, some of you in this room, far too soon. Some of us are filled with joy and deeply grateful for our mother's love. Some of us have or had complicated relationships with our moms. Some of us are yearning to be a mom. Some of us are overjoyed at being a new mom. We have a few of those here. Some of you are grieving children today, I know. And some of you are grieving your mothers. Some of us may feel like we have failed, whether we're moms or not, that we have failed in our love. Others of you have been failed. And some of you, I know, are just relieved you don't have to wear the title mom. You've got plenty of other stuff to do, and that's just okay. These Hallmark holidays, as I like to call them, can bring up those feelings, all the depths of the emotion, sometimes the untouched grief, all of the complicated emotions, and sometimes those unsolved parts of our heart where we need to forgive and we need to be forgiven. And I want to say that a mother's love, of course, as great as it may be, can never, ever be enough to fill us. No human love can. And the lack of, or the failure of human love is never enough to crush us. Our own need for a love that forgives and heals and blesses and protects is so much greater than any one person can give. And that is why we need God. That's why we need that love and that grace and that mercy and that blessing that God alone can give to us. That's why we need Jesus, who can look us in the eye and say and ask, "Do you love me?" and restore us to our place in the family of God. That's why we need Jesus to ask, "Do you love me?" Then perhaps Jesus might say, "Go and write that letter, make that phone call, do the next right thing. Let a small part of your heart be melted. Undo even a small piece of harm that you have done. Forgive yourself. Repair the world, whatever it may be. Do you love me?" Jesus asks us. "Then go, feed my sheep." May it be so for you, for me, and for all God's children. Amen. I like to think of our closing hymns as prayer